Blog Talk Radio.
Episode's title, it says we're going to look into the how and why of congestion pricing. Is it possible here? ULEST, which is ultra low emission zone, which currently is being looked at by LA. As a matter of fact, there is a May 31st article published on Fox 11, which says Los Angeles County's Metropolitan Authority is exploring the ideas of charging drivers to drive on certain freeways during peak hours to reduce traffic. Guess what this really is? This is not about reducing car emissions. This is not about reducing traffic. You know what this really is? It's another way to collect income on those who can least afford it. This is what is called a regressive tax. Money girl, what's a regressive tax? A regressive means it goes backwards. Is a tax where certain demographic groups pay more because a larger percentage of their income is paid by this tax. Well, how can that be? We all pay the same sales tax. in Los Angeles, yes. We all pay the same 10.25%. However, if you're only making, let's say, $1,400 a month, and you're paying $140 a month in sales tax, which is enfolded into every single gallon of gas, whether or not you believe it, it's actually folded into the cost of your food. It's folded into any number of things. And then, as part of transportation costs, as part of purchasing costs, as part of display costs, because that tax is cumulative. It's not just paid once. The people who purchased, like, say, Smart and Final, on every bottle of soda, there's a tax. Okay. Each bottle of soda is subject to sales tax. Well, that sales tax gets folded into their purchase price, which then is passed on to you because that then becomes their base price, the price between which that product is not going to fall any lower than that unless it's a blowout discount. Well, no. Which means that the $5 King's Hawaiian rolls that I bought for $2.50, that is probably actually very close to their actual real price with very little markup. They're just trying to get it out the door because they can't sell it anymore, and they're trying to collect that one last thing. Congestion pricing is pretty much the same thing. It really is a tax on those who can least afford it. As a matter of fact, the headlines are in London, where the mayor has gotten his ultra-low emission zone, despite hating it, despite being taken to court over this. He is insisting, and it will go into effect in less than 2 weeks, on the 21st of August, which means that if you have an older car, and if you're low income, if you're a working guy, if you are a worker, the middle class, or the working poor, guess who has to try, if you're trying to get around London, paying 12.5 pounds. That's in U.S. dollars, that's equivalent of $25 a day for the privilege of driving your car to try and get to work and try to earn money, earn income. Yeah. So now do you understand what I mean about this is a regressive tax? And call it what it really is. The Northern London elite, the elites, think this is a great idea. Do you know why? They're the early adopters. They're the ones that can afford, oh, let's say $70,000 for an electric car and to be able to afford to charge that electric car. Now, unless you're someone like, oh, one of my friends who couldn't charge their electric car, they had had it plugged in overnight and it should have charged and it didn't. It said it only had 29 miles. Well, that's where a can of compressed air and cleaning out the contacts made all the difference. But the point is, if I'm only making $1,400 a month, paying the equivalent of 3 years' salary to purchase a new car so that I can avoid paying the $25 a day to get around to do my job becomes an undue burden. The whole point of having freeways was to have a place without traffic lights to avoid congestion, to help people get from point A to point B quickly without the inconvenience of driving on surface streets with traffic lights. And my mother, to this day, if she is at a stoplight for more than about 10 seconds, goes bonkers. Why is it taking so long? Oh, the sight's never going to change. Then we're going to add the fact that if you're idling at a stoplight, you're actually burning the equivalent of several miles worth of gas in that short period of time, because when your car is idling, burning gas at a higher rate than if you were, say, driving 30 miles an hour nonstop. Where is there a street where I can drive 30 miles an hour nonstop here in Southern California? Never mind. It really doesn't exist. Well, maybe the 60 once you get out past Beaumont. But if you're doing 30 miles an hour on that, your doors will be blown off, because the speed limit there is actually 65. And people will be very upset with you if you decide to drive 30 miles an hour there. So that's what we're talking about. This is all under the guise of creating a new, better green economy that is better for people. Using the same sort of logic being used in Congress, yes, in Congress, to ban gas stoves, gas water heaters, and natural gas heating. Well, I hate to tell you this, but even in Southern California, the sun does not always shine. If there is too much solar radiation hitting those panels at one time, the panels will shut down. There is only a certain band of efficiency. And if the batteries are too full, then all of that incoming insolation, as in direct sunlight, sol s from the sun, insolation, insolation, which is incoming radiation from the sun, which we perceive in the form of light and heat and ultraviolet radiation, which the ozone layer does not screen out. Okay. So the infrared, which we perceive as heat, the ultraviolet, which is what makes our skin crispy and burn, our skin reacts to that higher energy radiation. All of that may be too much capacity for the solar panels. And by the way, solar panels are not recyclable. They use things like rare earth metals, and especially batteries use the rare earth metal lithium and cobalt. Cobalt is mined by small children, the poorest of the poor, in places like the Congo, the Democratic Republic of Congo, where there are no safety regulations. So if you think you're being virtuous by driving an electric car and you think, oh, well, it doesn't matter, I already have an electric car, this doesn't really apply to me, you're part of the problem. Why? Because those batteries, what do you do with them when you're done with them? Not to mention that all of these things need to be shipped on cargo boats using, guess what, fossil fuels So the reality is your electric car, your clean energy car is as dirty as a gas, is as dirty or dirtier as a gas stove, as a water heater, as my internal combustion engine car. So that's, I mean, as much as one wants to think that, oh, somehow it's strawberry-scented unicorn farts that are providing the wind to turn the turbines. It's all wonderful and good. No, it's not. And I am saying this because Money Girl not only has a degrees in accounting, business, and finance, but also energy policy and climate. So this is not just me spouting conspiracy theories out of the ether. This is real, because Money Girl will lay it down on a Manic Monday. So are we looking at you, Les? Are we actually looking at ways to tax the poor and tax them at a higher rate? Now, I think it's interesting that Metro decided to do this study during 2020 and 2021, which, you know, we already see. If you have ever seen the transponder with your on the 110, yeah, that is actually, it talked about it, it's going to cost you this much to use the carpool lane. That if there's only one person in the car and you have your transponder set, that is an example of what they call congestion pricing. Well, so let's talk about the realness of this, right? So they're talking about the 10 freeway. Oh, and by the way, when they're talking about driving on the freeway, they mean one of my favorite freeways, and they're talking about considering this. They're talking about taxing the poor so that they will have clear freeways for the Olympics in 2028. I think it's interesting that they figured out when they could do congestion pricing at a time when there was very little traffic in 2020 and 2021, when we were all locked down at home. We're all working remotely. We're not on the freeway. And then they're coming up with other ways to make money off of us. Because even though people are working, still work remotely, more and more and more people are required to come into the office, put in the FaceTime. By the way, these are the same elected officials and governing agencies that said, oh, wear a mask. We need, you know, you're not a good person if you're not wearing a mask. Get the vax. Okay, now I'm going to stop there. I am, because this whole concept of congestion pricing, really, it's not about that same sort of virtue signaling. What it really is about is poor, make them pay. And as I said, it's the people who can least afford it. And on that tragic note, there was a viral video of a 7-Eleven worker. He's there now. Apparently, this was the third time this particular 7-Eleven had been robbed in as many days.
The guy is coming in with a big 55-gallon trash can, just randomly pulling things off the shelves. He's going, hey, you know, stop it. Please don't do that. Why are you doing this to us? He goes, well, you have insurance. Okay, so let's talk about it. Well, you have insurance. You put in too many claims on your insurance, and guess what? You won't have insurance. And with this being three times in as many days, and the guy is just walking with his big 55-gallon trash can, taking things off the shelves, cigarettes, things that have a high resale value, and people aren't going to ask too many questions if they can go buy a $3 pack of cigarettes off you, not knowing whether or not it fell off the back of a truck, which is a euphemism, by the way, for being acquired in a dubious manner, which would avoid additional taxation. He was asked to stop several times. He flashed his gun, or what looked like a gun. And apparently, there was another person in the store that stopped him. So it's a private person acting in a private manner. And then someone else grabs a stick. And by that, I mean, it's a big piece of Dell. Like, you can go buy this at Home Depot. It's about 1.25 inches around and about 5 to 6 feet long. And just wails. I believe the term is it beats his ass. I couldn't see, but initially it looked like they may have gotten and damage. And the guy's just basically smacking his ankles, and the guy's punked up, curled into a ball, and crying. Well, the 7-Eleven workers are the ones that are in trouble and may well lose their job for these assets, because they did engage. They called the police. As usual, the police don't want to get involved in this because, well, it's crazy making. And two, you know, the fallout from 3 years of all cops are bad, all cops are, and there are other words, okay? The whole social justice movement, one of the fallouts is people get in trouble for this. Well, they did take the law into their own hands. And as much as it makes a great TikTok video, vigilante justice. And would you like it if it was being done to you? Now, this does not mean that Money Girl supports this sort of criminal behavior on either side. The answer is no. Should the clerk lose their job over this? No. Should they be in trouble over this? If the fact that this criminal wants to press assault charges, that he was damaged or hurt in the commission of a crime. All right. This is not according to the law. He is able to sue the clerk for assault and battery. Is it just? No. But would you like someone? I mean, I have had to clean out my purse because someone thought that I was stealing a protein bar. Despite the fact that I had just walked up, paid for what I had in my hand, put it in my purse. But the security guard decided he wanted to make a point. Fine. So yes, Money Girl complied, showed him my receipt, showed him my purchase. Fortunately for me, the 7-Eleven clerk backed me up, but what does this have to do with you, Liz? Well, as much as you may think, well, we'll just put it on someone's insurance, the answer is it really will end up being a regressive tax, because I'm now paying, if I walk into 7-Eleven, $1.50 for two cookies or more. Guess what stays in the store? You know, I'm paying now more for my bottle of soda because the insurance premiums keep coming up out the ATM because people are trying to hit 7-Eleven and physically take the ATM to another location to get the money. I'm like, did I pack anyone? So congestion pricing, the cost of theft, it all comes down to taxing the poor, those who are least able to afford it. So this is what you need to be aware of so you can start talking to. Now, this is the Metropolitan Transit Authority. So this is where you would reach out to Senator Bradford. He happens to be the state senator here in the South Bay, and others. You can look up who is my representative, and it will tell you who your representative is in Congress. Mine happens to be Maxine Waters. Senator Bradford is my state senator. And I forget who my state representative is. It used to be Autumn. But she was voted, Autumn Bradley, but I believe she was voted out. Who was the daughter of my supervisor, county supervisor. So we have 90 seconds. So are U.S. loans, are there going to be ultra-low emission zones and congestion pricing in the U.S.? The answer is, in some ways, it's already here, but not to the extent that you see in places like Oxford, London, and other places. We the people will not be defeated. We the people have the power. We need to say, stop taxing the poor. Stop taxing the poor. This is part of social justice. This is one of the main missions of the Splendificus Foundation, which is sponsors this program. One of our missions is mental health. The other is social justice. This is social justice. Know who to talk to. Know that you are powerful. And know that it may be a manic Monday, but we can still make magic. Those are the things I want you to remember on this manic Monday. This is Money Girl. Peace.